It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me. As promised last week, we're going to visit again with Carrie Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. Due to the number of issues taking place in the national scene in conservation, and while last Sunday was Father's Day, Carrie, we didn't have the chance to talk about the father of the federal duck stamp program and maybe some of the things that dads can do in the outdoors with their kids. So thanks for joining me this morning again, Carrie.
Oh, my pleasure, Charlie. Happy Father's Day belatedly to you.
We're not 1 week late because I'd like to think that every day is a great day in the outdoors and for dads. But let's do take a time during this show just to talk about some memories you can create that may not seem big to you as a dad, but do seem life-changing to our kids.
Yeah.
And that's an easy one. I know many of you listening are saying, I remember when I did this with my child, or oh, I look forward, I got a three-year-old, I can't wait to do this. It changes their lives. It really does.
Take them fishing. Watch a bobber go under. I mean, there's nothing better than that, you know. And if you're fishing panfish, they don't even need to set the hook. Just reel them in and cook them a nice fried fish dinner and watch the light bulb turn on.
Well, another way, Carrie, to watch the light bulb turn on, and since we are in summer, we'll just roll with this, Carrie, and we'll come back to the father of the federal duck stamp program in just a moment. We are in the beginning of summer. We've finally gotten some weather that resembles the reason we like summer so much. It can just be as simple as a walk. And I well remember taking my young kids walking in the forest preserves of Chicago and just looking at bees and looking at turtles. And I think the day my son got hooked on the outdoors and hooked on fishing was the day that I took him fishing, when the rod stayed in the boat and he spent 3 hours chasing turtles from log to log with a fishing net trying to catch them. We got back in the car after we were through and he had a friend of his with him and he said, Dad, I love fishing.
Yeah.
Of course, we never put a line in the water.
Sure. And, I mean, I remember taking my youngest daughter, Charlotte. If you're listening, Charlotte, go back to bed. But I took her out at a local preserve, and we caught some fish, and then we had a nice lunch nearby, and then we drove around and walked around the property, and we saw deer, and I believe we saw an eagle that day. We saw raccoons, and as we left in our car driving out, we saw a couple more deer, and we pulled through the gate, and she said, this was the best day ever, and it really was. And so I hope all of you fathers out there have a couple days like that this summer.
Well, and it's easy to do, Carrie. It's just not something, as you and I, and of course, many of you listening, know, this is not something that takes a lot of planning. It could be a walk along the lakefront and in Chicago and holding hands with your young daughter or your granddaughter. Or it could be going to a forest preserve. It could be getting in a canoe. It could be, as Carrie, as you said, it could be as simple as putting a bobber in the water and watching that bobber go under. These aren't expensive experiences.
Set up a tent in your backyard and sleep out overnight. You know, it's great, depending on where your backyard is. But, you know, I mean, why not?
And remember this year, though, I don't think I'll have to remind any of you who are going to go do that today. Make sure you close the zipper on the mosquito flap because this is an epic year for mosquitoes. So, Carrie, we're talking about things that dads can do in the summer with their kids. And there really are so many of them, and you just don't know what is going to impress upon a child. But I want to go fast forward 3 months on something that occurred that will occur this autumn. And so for those of you listening, just kind of think about it. The day the leaves fall off a tree, where there are millions, tens of millions of trees in the Chicagoland area, and every one of them is going to lose their leaves this fall. Mm-hmm. Take a child, I don't care how old it is, on the day that a particular tree, the leaves start to fall. And as you know, they don't fall one by one off that tree. they fall all at once.
Yep.
And it is an experience in nature that I've actually done with all three of my kids who are now not kids. And it changed their perspective of forests and trees. And it is really cool. And in the spring, you know, the silver maples pods come off. And again, they don't fall one by one. They pretty much come all at once. And it's really a cool thing to do. So I guess the message you and I are kicking around is get outside, right, Carrie?
Get outside. I'll share one last memory. When my daughters were really small, we went into our backyard in suburban Washington, D.C., and we built a duck blind, and we sat there blowing duck calls. There wasn't a duck within 50 miles of us, but boy, did we have fun.
Well, and I imagine then as now, your wonderful wife thought and knew you were crazy. So, Carrie, we're going to go to a break now, because when I come back, I want to talk about the father of the duck stamp program, Ding Darling, and take really some time to understand what's going on with why we'd want to mess with such a success. And maybe it is that people just simply can't leave a success well enough alone. We're visiting with Carrie Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. And you are listening to The Great Outdoor Show on WGN, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. This is Charlie Potter. And first, a message from our longtime and great sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and we are visiting with a guest of who I've had on the air many times, and I consider to be one of the great spokesmen for the outdoor world, but also a very thought leader in that he leads the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership on a whole variety of issues across the country dealing with economics and the outcomes of programs that affect all of us in the outdoor world. Carrie Luft,
yes,
got a question for you. Ding Darling, the father of the federal duck stamp, along with, ironically, an individual by the name of Max McGraw.
Yep.
But Ding Darling is known for that. It's been around a long time. Why are we suddenly thinking we ought to change a successful story?
Well, don't include me in that we, Charlie, but little bit of background. The duck stamp is something you must purchase if you want to hunt migratory waterfowl in the United States. And it's currently $25 by law. 98 cents of every dollar spent on duck stamps goes to buy or lease waterfowl habitat. It is the single most effective government program for conservation we have ever created. $1 billion in the last 85 years, 6 million acres, 300 national wildlife refuges. It's just. You know, I mean, and you and I talk a lot about efficiency in government or the lack thereof. This one works, okay? Now, what is happening is that there has been, as waterfowl hunters have declined, the Fish and Wildlife Agency has thought about how do we make it, the duck stamp, more attractive to everyone. Why should I buy a duck stamp if I don't hunt waterfowl? Well, it supports birding. It supports conservation in general. I mean, if you build good waterfowl habitat, you're building good wildlife habitat. And some people I know who are not hunters, they buy a duck stamp every year for that very reason, and thank goodness. few years ago, there was a proposal from Fish and Wildlife to not have ducks on the stamp, not necessarily have ducks on the stamp, open up the contest. The duck stamp is selected through a contest of paintings every year. But now, and the Fish and Wildlife Service has said, you know, it's in their marketing materials, the stamp is not just for ducks or hunters. But now the agency is proposing a shift that would make hunting the mandatory focus of all duck stamp contests. And some people are up in arms because they say it could alienate non-hunters, keep them from buying a stamp. And that's the current controversy.
So I'm going to side with the point of view, this has been such a success. We don't need to have a hunting image on the federal duck stamp.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it will narrow its focus. And ultimately, I think, Gary, there have been a lot of discussions about if you go into a national wildlife refuge, you should have to buy a duck stamp. People go duck hunting once, and they may not even shoot a duck in a year. And they're paying $25 for the privilege of sitting wet and cold, you know, in a blind, hoping to see a duck and hoping to have a chance to shoot at it. And you pay nothing to go across the street to the National Wildlife Refuge and view thousands of birds of all kinds and ducks, all of which have benefited from the federal duck stamp program.
Certainly.
So why would we want to narrow its focus?
You got me. Because, you know, while there's nothing prohibiting it, hunting images from being in the duck stamp, you know, one of the most famous of all was had an image of King Buck, a famous Labrador retriever with a mallard in his mouth. And this coming year's stamp has a wood duck with a wood duck decoy in the background. I don't think it's a smart move necessarily to narrowly focus the duck stamp on hunters, which you and I both know are declining demographically. We need to expand the appeal of the duck stamp because it's the best program we've got. And so let's say you're a birder and the duck stamp next year is a strap of dead pintails. That's not going to incite a birder to buy it. You know, we have been talking, our basic theme here in the conservation community is one of inclusivity. You know, birders and duck hunters should work together because their interests truly are, at the end of the day, aligned. And I think this is going to set us back if we say it's a hunter stamp. It's a stamp for
everybody. Where did this come from? Where is this movement coming from?
Within the agency, as far as I can tell.
The agency being whom, Kerry?
Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And it was a very surreptitious, it was a rule proposal that came out this spring, and the wording is, this rule will make mandatory the theme celebrating our waterfowl hunting heritage for the 2020 contest and beyond. Edits will be made to, you know, in addition to the central eligible waterfowl species, one or more waterfowl hunting specific elements or a waterfowl hunting scene must be part of the design. And it requires that those who judge the contest are hunters. And, you know, I just don't think that helps us in the long run, Charlie. You know, there was, you know, there was a one-time theme in 2018 celebrating our waterfowl hunting heritage to recognize the role that we hunters play in conservation, and that's how the next year's stamp has a decoy in it. Now they want to make it permanent.
So how do you, if those of you listening feel as very less than I do that this is not a helpful change, how do you make your voices known? Do you write the Fish and Wildlife Service? Do you know what the process would be?
I don't exactly know the process, but I certainly would write the Fish and Wildlife Service and say, this is a bad idea. I just don't think it's a good idea at all. And I think you should talk to other officials who might be able to influence the Fish and Wildlife Service. And, you know, if you're a member of one of the waterfowl conservation organizations, get them involved. Boy, can you imagine if the several hundred thousand people across this country who belong to waterfowl conservation organizations said, we don't want this, that would probably be a real good push.
Well, and of course, since you're speaking on WGN Radio, Kerry, everybody at the Fish and Wildlife Service is listening. Hey, Tom? Tom?
Yeah.
How much time do we have left?
You've got maybe another 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. I lost track there. All right, Kerry, let's say we got 2 minutes left, Kerry.
Okay.
So I'll follow up with the sentence there, and then we'll quickly pivot to the last topic, okay? So
okay.
I'm just going to count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So I guess, Kerry, a combination of maybe an ill-conceived idea to mess with a long-term success, but maybe the bigger question, on the whole thing is, we no longer buy duck stamps to put on our walls because that's just become passe, and now you get them electronically. So who is going to propel and drive this incredibly important economic driver for wetlands conservation? Do we come to a point where we just say, you know, it's like if you go to a national wildlife refuge, you're going to buy a duck stamp? Do we come to that point?
Boy, I think that would be a step in the right direction, Charlie. I would prefer getting people to do it out of their own goodwill. We sell about 1.5 million duck stamps a year, and there are about 1 million duck hunters in the country. So there's 500,000 floating out there of people who didn't hunt waterfowl. It's probably a little less than that because I think I buy 5 duck stamps a year because I lose them. I'm pretty sure you buy a few more than that, than the normal hunter as well, because it's a great program. But, you know, why would we be self-limiting to a demographic that sadly is declining? You're just going to be cutting off one of the most important conservation programs in the country. Let's make it mandatory to go on to federal wildlife. In my personal opinion, let's make it mandatory to have a duck stamp to get onto a federal wildlife refuge for birding. Let's figure out other ways to make it palatable to as many people as possible. And because, you know, it's the best thing we've got out there. I can't say it enough. And to see it wither on the vine is just not acceptable.
Well, I'm glad to know that you are now really stirring the pot. And on that note, Kerry, we're going to let you go because I'm all for having to buy a federal duck stamp if you go into a refuge anywhere because that's how they're supported. Some people might disagree with us, the same people who also oppose the raising of the cost of the federal duck stamp when you look at how inexpensive it is compared to everything else we do. That's the subject for another day, Kerry. Thank you very much for being with us. I hope you've enjoyed the Great Outdoors show this morning. Kerry Luft of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership has been our guest. This is Charlie Potter, who next week will be reporting, believe it or not, from South Africa on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.